Are the New Testament documents reliable? We're going to talk about that right now with Dr. Craig Evans, who's a prolific author. He's a New Testament scholar. He's a professor at Houston Baptist Seminary, and he's the host of a new movie that I think virtually every Christian should see, especially more mature ones and even baby Christians. It's called Fragments of Truth, and it's all about this very issue of the reliability of the New Testament. He's also the author of a book called Fabricating Jesus, How Modern Scholars Distort the Gospels. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Dr. Evans, it's a great privilege to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good to be with you.
All right, so let me get started this way. Bart Ehrman said one time in a debate, and by the way, the man he was debating is one of the experts you interviewed or you had interviewed in your program, the Fragments of Truth actually it was a film, and Daniel Wallace was the one who debated him, but Bart Ehrman is a skeptical scholar who basically says, no, we cannot trust the New Testament documents. He said that what we have today, even what they had in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago was just copies of copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. And, of course, in the process, errors can be introduced. So let me start with that objection. What is your comment to what Bart Ehrman is saying there?
Well, Bart Ehrman knows better and admits as much in the second edition of his book, Misquoting Jesus, where on page 252 in an appendix, he acknowledged that his understanding of textual criticism is not really any different from that of his great teacher at Princeton, the late Bruce Metzger. Bruce Metzger believed that the text was very accurately preserved, probably within 99 point something percent. There are very, very few passages where we actually aren't sure how it originally read. Not one of those passages impacts a significant Christian teaching. So the idea that because of there have been many copies, multiple copies over and over again, which is true of all literature from antiquity, that was the only way they could do it. They didn't have photocopiers, printing presses. Every single manuscript, as the word manuscript means, is written by hand. So in a sense, it's a fresh text every time a new text is made. But the way it works, and this is what our film covers, I think, very well. Sure, you could be a scribe and you could make a change deliberately or accidentally. And all the other scribes aren't making that same change, that same mistake in Greek, in Latin translation, or any other translation. And so what happens is scholars, we just have enough examples. We have so many manuscripts. We have over 5,000. We can just compare them. And it becomes very obvious which readings are accidents, mistakes, deliberate alterations, and so figuring out what the original text was. Now, here's another very important point, too. The text, we haven't lost anything. It isn't as though text disappears. What happens is the text gets slightly longer in the passage of time because people gloss things. They will add a word or two that explains something. There was also the tendency to expand divine names. And so if Jesus is referred to, he'll be called, someone might add Lord, or somebody might add Christ, or both. And so this means the text slightly expands. So as we get older texts, these expansions just aren't there. We get closer and closer to the originals. But there is nobody, and that includes Bart Ehrman himself, if he's not pandering to uninformed popular crowd, text critics don't go around wondering what Paul originally said in Romans or what Matthew originally wrote in his gospel. We have assurance that we do have the original text in front of us.
You seem to be the driving force behind this movie. I mean, not only the leading expert, and you, I believe you're the only one actually looking at the camera, as opposed to other guests who would be looking slightly off camera. Am I correct that you were the driving force behind this movie?
Well, yes, I proposed it, so I'm listed in the credits as the creator of the film, and I am the host. What I did, if you want to know, I proposed it, and the people at Faith Life said, hey, it's a great idea, let's run with it. So what they wanted from me was a list of the documents we should view, where they are located, and the people we should interview. And so that's what I did, and we figured it out, came up with an itinerary, which city to go to first and so on. And then, of course, I helped develop all the questions. I actually am the one that interviewed everybody.
Oh, good.
So when you see people sitting there and they don't look right at the camera, they sort of look off. And you're right. You picked up on that. I'm in a chair. They're looking at me is what they're looking at.
Yeah.
They're not looking at the camera. They're looking at me.
Right.
And they're answering my questions. And so I interviewed everybody. And then the Faith Life people went over everything and figured out which parts to keep. Because, you know, we ask a lot of people the same questions.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of overlap, and we chose and picked. And I think they did a pretty good job editing it and creating a very nice documentary. Yeah. I've received a ton of email. And upstairs I can hear my computer bing, bing, bing as more email comes in. Since the film Tuesday night, that's all I've been doing is answering emails, and it's overwhelmingly positive. People are saying, how can we get this? We want to show it in our church, you know, and that kind of thing. And I think that's wonderful. It's very encouraging.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm glad to know they were looking at you. If I could say this, I have often played in that role at D. James Kennedy Ministries and continue as a TV producer, senior producer, actually, for the D. James Kennedy program. And back in 2000, when Peter Jennings raised a lot of doubts in people's minds, needlessly, just by interviewing a whole bunch of liberal Bible scholars about Jesus and presenting them as if this is basically it. He did have N.T. Wright in there, you know, for just a conservative guess, and yet even there he didn't ask him necessarily questions that would rebut what John Dominic Crossan et al. Said. But I interviewed Bruce Metzger for that program while he was still alive. That was back in 2000 when we made our rebuttal, Who is this Jesus? And Dr. Metzger certainly believed in the reliability of the New Testament. He even said something that, you know, apart from the New Testament documents, that we could basically reconstruct practically the entire New Testament just from quotes of the New Testament from the church fathers in those early centuries.
Well, that's absolutely correct. A lot of people don't realize that. It isn't just the Greek manuscripts, and I say Greek because the autographs, the originals, were all written in Greek. All 27 books that make up the New Testament, they were all originally written in Greek. But as you just said, virtually the entire New Testament is quoted in many cases over and over and over again by various commentators and theologians in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries and so on. But also the New Testament is translated into Latin in its entirety. It's translated into Coptic and into Syriac and into other languages. So in a sense, we don't even need the Greek New Testament manuscripts. The whole New Testament is preserved, you know, in all these other sources. So that's why it's really silly. It's just pandering to the ignorant public to say, oh, my goodness, there have been lots of copies. We don't have the originals. Scribes sometimes do make mistakes. So who knows how the Bible originally read? That is demagoguery. That is just plain misleading, and I think at times deliberately deceitful.
Wow. Well, your movie is just a tremendous rebuttal to all this. Okay, let me ask you a question. Explain the process. This is something I hadn't even thought of until I saw your movie. The idea that, let's say, Paul writes a letter. He writes to the Philippians. Okay, he writes his letter. The idea that then a copy of that letter was made before it even left Paul's hands, or before it left Paul's custody, if you will, so that not only did the Philippians receive that copy, but there was a copy on hand, you know, whatever, that Paul left behind. And there was even maybe a wax copy. Explain that.
Well, that's the way books and letters were composed in antiquity. A scribe would sit down with wax tablets. That actually is the beginning of the book. You see, back in the day, everything was a scroll. We call them book rolls or scrolls. But tablets were used for taking notes. And so the scribe would listen carefully as the we could put it in quotation marks, the letter writer dictates what his letter is going to be. And he takes notes, he writes out an outline. Then he sits down with papyrus and he begins writing out the letter. And at some point, the finished draft is read and approved. And so the draft that is mailed, as it were, sent to the destiny, whether it's the church at Philippi or wherever, that's the draft that the author, in this case, Paul, he actually signs it with his own hand. And that's why you'll see him say, look at the large letters, you know, that I'm using as I sign my letter. And he will refer to that. And so that's why we call it an autograph. Because this is the original, this is the one signed by the author. Otherwise, the rest of it's written by the scribe. Well, before that letter goes out, a copy is retained. So in a sense, there aren't just 27 autographs representing the 27 books of the New Testament. There's at least twice that. And some of the letters like Ephesians, probably the book of James, they are circular letters. They would be multiplied at the beginning and sent out one in this direction, one in that direction. So the idea, the possibility that autographs, the original copies could actually survive is greatly increased because there were multiple copies of them at the very beginning.
And these, another thing, your point that your film made that I hadn't thought about was that these documents, many of them written on papyrus or whatever, would last a lot longer than we thought. They could last even for hundreds of years. And explain about the codex in this answer as well.
Well, yes, we have actual physical evidence. I mean, after all, we have New Testament fragments that date to the second century, so that makes them 1,800 years old. We have documents with dates on them that have been found in tombs and in the ash heap, the trash heaps, dry sands of Egypt, that are 2,000, 2,500 years old in some cases. So they just last a long time. And then, of course, you look at the codex, which is another word for book, and it looks more like a book today. It's made up of several pages, has a spine, has covers. Well, we have books of the Bible, the whole Bible, the Greek New Testament, as well as the Greek translation of the Old Testament. We have at least two from the 4th century. They date somewhere between 330 and 340 A.D. Well, my goodness, these books are almost 17 centuries old, and most of their lives have been spent in Europe, which gets damp in the wintertime, and yet they haven't rotted away. They've survived. So, you know, we're used to cheap paperbacks that fall apart, the spine cracks, the pages start coming out, and that's after just a few years. But the books in antiquity were made of very durable, lasting materials, and they were expensive, they were treasured, and they were well cared for. They weren't just tossed around or thrown out very casually because they were so valuable.
By the way, when you mentioned the document that was 2,500 years old, obviously you're talking about something from the Old Testament. But as far as the codex itself, which is kind of like the forerunner to the book, it was like a book, the way we open a book and so forth. The church essentially innovated this, right? And we have less than a minute to go, but go ahead.
Well, yes, and that's true. We're not sure that the church invented the book. But the book was available, and it's amazing, like 90% of Christian writings are books, and only about 10 or 15% of non-Christian writings are books. So it was clear that Christians loved the book and made it very fashionable.
All right, we're basically out of time, so let me just give the website. First of all, your website is craigaevans.com. And the website for the producers of the film is faithlife.com, Fragments of Truth, coming out someday, Lord willing, on a DVD or Blu-ray or, you know, some other way to stream it or something. But this is absolutely well worth seeing. Dr. Evans, thank you so much for making this film. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and it was very informative. I look forward to see it again and again so I can absorb more of that information. Thank you.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.